Well, I have to say, I feel very blessed. I celebrate Mass every Saturday morning down at Holy Redeemer, and there's a very beautiful chalice there, but it was showing its wear. And just yesterday morning, it was missing for about a month and a half. And yesterday morning, it showed back up, newly gilded and absolutely beautiful. So it brought me a lot of joy. And this morning, I am wearing a brand new set of vestments that feel a lot like armor. And they are absolutely gorgeous. So certainly thank all those who have given to the Latin Mass Society of Madison to allow for these beautiful vestments to be made. And they are certainly worthy of such a sacred act as the liturgy. In today's readings, the thing that struck me most was the word anger. In the epistle, it is, "Do not let the sun go down on your anger or on your wrath." And then in today's gospel, there's kind of two parts of anger. There is the anger of the teachers and the Pharisees towards Jesus, but then there is the anger of the king who invited people to a wedding feast and they did not come. And so there are three ways in which Jesus's persecutors were provoked to kill him. The first is by his glory. He provoked others to hate him. Second is by his wisdom. And the third is by his justice. I think this is important for us to reflect upon, because all of us, I'm sure, deal with anger to one degree or another. And we know that sometimes anger can be justified. Sometimes anger is anger pointed towards ourselves because we've done something wrong and we are angry at ourselves for it. Or we can be angry at others who have done an injustice of some sort. But we really want to guard ourselves against our anger towards the Lord. And if the Lord challenges us by his glory, which means we realize that we are not as good as we once thought we were, we can get angry. Or if we kind of find ourselves being ignorant of something that maybe we thought we should not have been ignorant of, we can be angry. Or if there's a judgment made, and even if it's right, sometimes just knowing that we're wrong can cause us anger. And so we have to be very attentive within the interior life, that when we are growing in our faith, that we're not making choices against the Lord out of anger. And we get very good at justifying ourselves. So I think just recently I've worked with some young people that I think they're being challenged not by a demon but by God himself to be transformed, to go deeper, to have a stronger faith, to have greater hope, to have greater charity. And sometimes it comes across as, "Father, I'm being attacked." Yes, you want to point and say it's a demon. I'm saying it is the Lord calling you to greater conversion. And we do not want to mistakenly call one the other. But when the Lord shows up in his glory, or in his wisdom, or in his justice, sometimes it is an attack on us. And we don't want to let go of us. And so in today's gospel, I think there is some of that going on. And we think about it. Jesus is talking to those who are found with and honored and respected within the Jewish faith. These aren't a bunch of pagans. There are those who are already actively engaged in the Jewish practices. So that should give us a little pause when we read the gospel today. And so he begins this story of the king inviting people to a wedding banquet for his son. What is this marriage? It is the marriage between the church and Christ. It is our soul's marriage to God in faith. And so it is the analogy of inviting us into that relationship. And so how does the king invite? Well, he sends messengers, and he sends them twice. He sends them out first, and they say, "No, thank you." So he sends them out a second time, and they mistreat him, or they mistreat his servants. And each time that he sends his messengers out, the second time, his generosity is extended all the more. We know how much it hurts to be rejected. But this king turns around and sends out messengers a second time. It shows a sense of generosity of heart. But they respond with even greater evil, with a lack of receptivity, with greater malice. And so he calls them. He promises to bring them to a banquet. That is a refreshment. And for many of us, it is not just a physical refreshment, but it is a spiritual refreshment. So we keep that in mind in regards to our anger or malice. That when we come to the Lord, when we come to the marriage banquet, Christ wants to refresh us. But it says one goes off to his farm, another one goes off to his merchandise. Well, what does that refer to? Thomas Aquinas says the farm is expressive of the appetite for human glory. So when the first one goes off to his farm, he is pursuing the appetite for human glory. The one who goes off to do his work as a merchant, it is referred to as the appetite of greed. And then the second time, they mistreat and they kill the servants, which is not only the Old Testament, the destroying of the prophets, but it's also a foreshadowing of how the apostles will be received after Christ's death. And it says that the king is angry. So it's important to realize that when God gets angry, it's not like our anger. He doesn't get agitated. We oftentimes in our anger get agitated. But his is one in which he seeks punishment, but punishment in order to correct. Which means for all of us who are required to make judgments and who are asked to lead and correct other people, we have to ask ourselves, are we doing it out of agitation? Or are we doing it with a proper order? And that is in order to correct. To correct whatever bad thing is going on interiorly that is manifested exteriorly by those that we are called to watch over and form and care for. And a part of that is dealing with our anger or our malice is one way to make that judgment or that punishment for the proper reason and not out of agitation. And so the king says, well, if those who are being called won't come, go out and invite anyone else, good or bad, and just invite them. And so they go out and they invite both the good and the bad. And it says that they go off into the off-roads to invite anyone that they see. So the off-roads can be referred to as us going out and calling those to the banquet, the wedding feast, by giving them good doctrine, by helping correct their erroneous doctrine, but also through good actions. So actions of charity. These are ways in which we invite those from outside into the wedding feast, the banquet. And we know that at the very end, the king sees someone not wearing a wedding garment. He goes, he binds, and he casts out. Why is that? Well, we know that without true conversion, we cannot put on Christ. And that is in regards to right doctrine and in regards to charity to both God and our neighbor. And so for us to enter into this beautiful banquet, we must put on Christ. And in reality, when the king binds up and casts out, a lot of ways we have already bound ourselves. We have already cast ourselves out by our own actions and our own choices. The beauty of today's gospel is that we are all invited to the wedding feast, the banquet, where the Lord desires to give us refreshment. One of the ways in which we prepare ourselves for that banquet is that we accept whatever glory, whatever wisdom, whatever judgment comes to us from the Lord, that we might put on Christ truly. And that through that, it dispels anger or malice in our own heart. We must not let the sun go down on our wrath, as we heard in the epistle today. And it is here at the banquet that that part of our hearts and our souls, our lives, can be truly nourished, healed, and strengthened for true charity.